1976, and we're very happy to be here in Greensboro, North Carolina, meeting with you and receiving the blessing of the Lord. We're here because of His grace and blessings. In contemplating the occurrences of yesterday and trying to decide what would be pleasing to the Lord for us to try to consider, we thought perhaps that the subject of self-examination would be in order. And in considering the class that in a sense began yesterday, although we know this is only the outward symbol of what has already occurred in their hearts previously, it might be in order to have a little formal welcoming ceremony perhaps to these dear ones and speak more particularly to them regarding some thoughts in our heart to be an encouragement and a help to them. We rejoice with them. We congratulate them that they have outwardly attested this inward devotion of their hearts. They're all to the Lord. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. We owe our all to the Lord. We've spoken of the chart and the Jewish dispensation. Properly received, that Jewish dispensation should have brought those members under it to full, unreserved, sacrificial devotion to the Lord. I haven't appreciated that very long, but when we analyze our Master's words, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy being, and so forth, that means full, unreserved devotion to the Lord. And that was what the law should have done and did do in those who were properly exercised thereby. Now, in contemplating our position, dear friends, we are starting another month. That indicates the rapid passage of time, how rapidly time is fleeting. And we should consider this. We should be considerate of the things about us and not just pass them off as though they didn't mean anything. We should contemplate the occurrences about us and try to read all we can out of them in sensing the direction of the Lord on our behalf thereby. Now, we'd like to just read one statement from the October 13 Songs in the Night. And we'd like to call your attention to those helps that are so helpful, other than the message that the Lord sent us, especially for this harvest period, through the pen of that dear one whose inkhorn was by his side, who wrote more than any other writer that we know of, particularly on religious subjects, and more voluminously, who devoted his life, simply wore it out in our service, and we have that blessing to this day. He being dead yet speaketh. And so we'd like to call your attention to these helps, the Manitex, the Songs in the Night, and the vow and the resolve that we have at our services in the morning, and we could well consider them in our evening service also and all the day long. We'd like to read just this one sentence from the October 13 Songs in the Night. What other men are seeking and cannot find, God's saints enjoy. Now, is that not true, dear friends? That is such an obvious truth. Here we are rejoicing in the Lord. We've come seeking something and we've found it. And we'll go away rejoicing. We'll go away bubbling over. And our hearts will be rejoicing and our lips will be praising the Lord and our hearts will be singing melodies and hymns to Him for His goodness and His mercy. For He has poured us out a blessing we cannot contain, really, literally cannot contain it. And if properly exercised, it will be bubbling over and we'll be telling it to others as we go along. We'll be dropping drops of dew as we go about. And the world will not have been barren because of our... In other words, we will not allow the world to have our presence and no benefit. Where we go, blessings should go. Drops of dew should fall. We should help the groaning creation. They are seeking and cannot find. We have found it. We have come here, and the Lord has blessed us. So I think it's apropos that we examine ourselves. We'd like to use 2 Corinthians 13:5, and we'd like to say to the candidates that we should do this often, self-examination. You know, in every school, they use an examination every once in a while, not only to see what the school thinks of the candidate, but for the candidate to see where his weak points are. And a proper candidate, seeing his weak points and seeing, my, that question, I knew very little about it, he would go home and study about it. I noted in my schooling that the examinations were very helpful because they would put things in my mind that I could hardly nail in there before. But after having been brought face to face with the realization I did not know, then I would make an effort, a special effort, and it would be a help to me. I even learned that preparing for the tests were a help. We might cram most of the night, and it would be very wearying. But, dear friends, it would organize our study that we had had for 3-6 weeks, and we would organize it because we went over it rapidly, and we had to bring it all in, and then we could more or less organize it in our minds. And I noted that point, too. And so with us, dear friends, the self-examination after every trial, after every experience that brings us face to face with something, either our lack or maybe it's our triumph. Maybe we triumph. It will not do for us to glory over that in the sense of saying, well, I'm doing all right now. But use it as a stepping stone to higher and better attainments. So this text, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Now, dear friends, if Jesus Christ is in us, it will benefit us. It will bring rich fruitage if we cooperate. We know the Lord is able to do what he sets out to do. All really that is in question is, will we cooperate? Will we submit ourselves to his schooling? So I would counsel these dear ones to examine themselves often. Don't go there with the idea of looking for something wrong. We're all wrong. We're all fallen. We're all degraded, and actually, self-examination is a little risky. The humble find only discouragement. The proud find only satisfaction. And we don't want to be overwhelmed with either one. If we find weaknesses, we find where our characters are weak, let us build to overcome that weakness, but let us not be discouraged. The adversary's wedge of discouragement is one of the tools that has discouraged many dear ones seeking to walk this narrow way. And so we would consider that, we would counsel that considering our own way is very important. We can consider others, and that's what the world in general does. They will look at others and criticize and see their faults, but they can't see a thing wrong in themselves. We should be able to see our faults, but we should not be discouraged thereby. Why not? Because, dear friends, we'll never make it in our own strength. We will never make it as human beings. If we were perfect, we could not attain the divine nature except in the way provided, humility and so forth, submission. And so we must keep our eyes on the Lord and realize that his covering covers all our imperfections. All the failings and faults of the frail humanity is covered if we are the Lord's. And so we would like to suggest that in this consideration, one of the ways of considering ourselves is by comparison. Compare our present status with our previous status. In other words, look back and see where we've been. When I was young in the truth, one of the older brethren in the farther along in the way than myself said that he was not sure that he was the Lord's. And I was just new in the class, but I loved Romans, the 8th chapter, and I said, well, I know that I'm the Lord's because I have His Spirit to show me what I'm aiming at now as compared to what my aims used to be. My comparison, the past and the present. And Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so that yardstick can help us. If we're aiming in that way, it may be we've fallen every other step. But that is not the important thing. If we've gotten up again to go on and have kept our eyes on the goal, it is very important. Now, the September 17th manna text, I think you will grow to love, at least I have, a very, very wonderful manna text, probably my favorite manna text, because it states a truth that is so vital. Christ in you, the hope of glory, September 17 manna. The comments. Every true child of God must have a definite individual Christian character of which is not dependent for its existence upon the spiritual life of any other Christian. I'll start that again. Every true child of God must have a definite individual Christian character which is not dependent for its existence upon the spiritual life of any other Christian. He must, from the word of truth, proclaimed and exemplified by other Christians, draw those principles of life and so forth which give him an established character, a spiritual individuality of his own. So positive and definite should be the spiritual individuality of everyone that, should even the beloved brother or sister whose spiritual life first nourished ours and brought us forward to completeness of character fall away, which the apostle shows is not impossible, we would still live, being able to appropriate for ourselves the spirit of truth. How very true that is, dear friends. We cannot depend on any brother, or Brother Russell included, for our life. We must draw those elements of nourishment from what they wrote and prescribed and lived and prove it by the word of the Lord and thus make it our own. And so this, I think, is a very important suggestion to these dear ones that they not give over fully their loyalty to any brother, no matter how convincing he sounds, no matter how convincingly he puts forth his ideas. You take them, weigh them, prove them by the word of the Lord, and then only are you safe. The apostles gave that credit, that counsel, and so did our master. He said to the law and to the prophets, if it agree not according to these, there's no light in them. He didn't expect them to take even his own sayings and just lightly receive them. Now, another point of self-examination, I think, in examining ourselves, is to ask ourselves, am I fully consecrated? I think that's important. We didn't have a chance to cover what we'd like to have covered yesterday, but there's more than one consecration, dear friends. There's a consecration implied on the line N, which not only stands for perfect human life, but also those that have come to that in a reckoned standing, which we call justification. There is a dedication to God, to righteousness and holy living implied in reaching the plain N, the plane of justification. It is important that we keep that in mind so that we not be confused and think, well, I'm dedicated to do the Lord's will. I want to do what's right. That's lovely. That's fine. But the consecration that we are expected to make, if we really appreciate the Lord's blessings to us, is one of full devotion to Him. That is, giving Him our lives, our hearts, our full devotion, whatever it turns out to be, and then to carry that out. And so the first question we should consider in the self-examination, or one of the questions would be, am I really consecrated? And we should consider that we are really following in the way of consecration. That is, we're doing everything that opens to us that we reasonably can to serve the Lord, even though it's distasteful to the flesh. We must remember that nothing that the human does is perfect, and so we can't do this perfectly. That must not discourage us, but the intent, the desire should be there. Am I really devoted to the Lord? Brother Russell, in one of his discourses or one of his counsels to the newly consecrated, I believe it was in the immersion service, counseled that they should watch themselves, and in a period of 2 years, if their perception hadn't broadened, if their devotion to the Lord hadn't deepened, if they could see no progress in themselves in the way of self-devotion to the Lord, they should question whether they are really consecrated to the Lord. And so I think we should question, am I really consecrated to the Lord? Am I finding my delight in His Word? Am I doing my best to put it into practice in my life? And actually, that is a very good yardstick. Am I doing what I can to practice the precepts of the truth in my life? We mentioned yesterday, a speaker in one of the tapes I listened to recently gave this yardstick. The devotees or the servants of the devil return evil for good. The devotees of the world return good for good. But those that follow the Master whithersoever he goeth return good for evil. And are we willing to return good for those little slights that come to us? You know, the world gets slights, so we shouldn't get excited if we get slighted a little bit over something. And so we should be willing to give them the best we have, predominantly the truth, and to do good to them, to do good unto all men as we have opportunity, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Another question we should ask ourselves, am I conquering self? Am I conquering my own worldly, my own fleshly desires? For this is what we covenanted to do, dear friends, when we gave our full devotion to the Lord. Am I conquering self? Am I giving up my own little peculiarities, my own little special pet habits and desires and wishes? If we love the Lord, we will do our best to overcome all these. Another question would be, am I depending on another? Am I depending on Brother A or B, a wonderful, outstanding brother who's obviously devoted to the Lord, a pilgrim brother or some outstanding brother? Or am I devoted to the Lord? You know, dear friends, there's a danger. And when we join a group, that there is a danger that we transfer our devotion from the ideals of that group to prolonging or supporting the group. I'm not stating it very well, but it is a truism that an organization many times gets the devotion of those who have supported it, and they begin to support that organization even though its ideals have changed. And so it takes a constant study to see what our objectives are. We belong to the Lord. We should depend on the Lord, our head. He is our head. Another question, am I developing my love and appreciation for the truth by studying it, by practicing it, and by going to those points of question, those points of controversy, of confusion among the brethren, and studying it carefully, so not only will we know that what is right and true ourselves, but so that we might help others who come to us and ask us for help and guidance along those lines. I've been blessed many times, dear friends, by studying controversial topics. I've had rich blessings along that line, and I suggest, if you have not tried it, that you do try it. But we must develop our love. You know, agape love is the standard, the fourth quarter mark. Agape love is largely a matter of mental state, mental determination. I am going to practice love, that is, I'm going to respect even those who are, we might call, enemies, that is, who practice evil and who are contrary to the things that we count dear in our lives, but we will extend a helping hand to them anytime we can. We'll not join them. We don't have to join them to exercise agape love in their behalf. Brother, our messenger counsels us to stay on the straight path ourselves and to offer help to them, but don't join them. That is dangerous. Encourage them to come back to the things which we know and approved are true. And so, am I developing my love and my appreciation for the truth? This is very important, that we appreciate it and love it. It was given to us with great cost. Did you ever stop to think, if a man had a pet project, that he would not care to confide his intimate things to strangers, to those who would ridicule him and make fun of him, or enemies, so to speak? But the Father has revealed His word, His pet ideas, His secret things to us. And we should appreciate that. We should get down on our knees constantly and appreciate and say our appreciation to our Heavenly Father for having enlightened our fleshly natural minds, which were contrary to these things, naturally, but He has performed a miracle on us so that we could understand them. Now, is there outward evidence of these things? Do we exercise self-control? Do we witness at any opportune time? Are we ashamed of the truth? Dear friends, are we ashamed of the truth? If we don't witness it, it's an evidence we're ashamed of the truth, is it not? We'd like to read a scripture that we love, and I'm sure you do too. Luke 9:26. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in that of the Father and of the holy angels. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Let us treasure the truth. That's what introduced us to the Father. It's impossible to know anything about someone without knowledge. And knowledge is what we've been given in the truth. And so it is very, very important. We counsel our dear brethren to study 12 pages a day in the Studies in the Scriptures and Tabernacle Shadows, to go over them. You can't study that in depth, but you must go over them. In doing so, it'll keep you off the hobby horses and out of the dead-end streets that are so common. If you get to studying a topic on your own, you'll say, what will I study today? Well, I'll study... Well, what are you going to say but something you already know? That is impossible to avoid. If you do your own studying and run your own course of study, that's what will happen. And you'll become a specialist until you know more and more about less and less, till finally you'll know everything about nothing. You must study the Studies in the Scriptures and the Tabernacle Shadows. That's the course of study that brought us into the truth. And if you'll cover 12 pages a day, dear friends, it'll keep you rounded out in the truth. That's true of the elders who have to study to make talks. Brother Russell suggests that even in spite of that, we must continue to study the 12 pages a day so that it will keep us out of those strange places and keep us humble. The plan is the Lord's. Now, we should nurture our love for the Lord. We should nurture it. We should encourage it and develop it and think about it and try to appreciate the Lord and what He's done for us and what His standards are. If you respect anyone, dear friends, the sincerest compliment is imitation. The sincerest compliment is imitation. Those who know the most about a subject are the most favorably impressed about it. Now let's keep those things in mind. We should nurture our love for the Lord. We should recognize our dependence upon Him. We cannot maintain this course upon our own help. We cannot help ourselves in the truth, but we can remain loyal. And the divine power will keep us in the truth. Dear friends, we're going to close. We realize that we stayed up here an hour. All we could do was to stimulate you to try to serve the Lord, to study, to examine yourselves, to see if you're in harmony with the truth and obeying it. And in that manner, then you will be able to continue on. Though you're isolated, all alone, we really are not isolated, you know. We have the word of the Lord. We have the word of the messenger. We have every help needful to help us in the way. And if we will make the proper application, we will hear the well done, good and faithful servant. You know that if we develop the character likeness to the master, it guarantees us a place in that body of the bride. May the Lord bless us so to do.
Thank you, Brother Cook. Brother Cook has asked that we use in closing 324. Please. I'll ask Brother Cook to dismiss this
number. Our glorious, loving, faithful Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. We come to Thee in the precious name of our worthy Master and Lord and Advocate, Jesus Christ, to give Thee thanks and praise for the wonderful things Thou hast done unto us, Thy grace extended to us. Help us to profit by it. Help us to be thoughtful and obedient children, dear Father. Help us to seek Thy guidance and care in every affair, and help us to be more obedient, and forgive us for the many ways we fail. Continue to guide, direct, and bless us. Bless Thy people everywhere. May Thy kingdom soon come. We ask and thank Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen.